We'll start with the beginning of the Seder. So, and then he said, "Vayoymar." Vayoymar, Adonoyim no matzosichen beinecha al no saver me'alavdecha. Rashi says, it's Loshen Yochid, it's Lugod Shevahem Omer, Lukurom Kulam Adoinim, Lugod Omer al Nosavar. Loshen Zehu Choyal. Dovirach Koydeshu, that the Loshen Aleph Dalad Nun Yud is the Loshen Koydesh. Right. That's what Chazal Darshan. Chazal Darshan from here that Gedolah has not Sasorach and Yoisir Mikabos Peneshchina. That otherwise, how could Avraham Avinu go and say to the Rabbeinu Shalom, he came to be Mavaki Choyle to Avraham, and at the same time he should tell him, please wait, I have to be Machna Sarachim, I'll come back soon and we'll continue the Bikha Choyl. Based on what I mentioned last week, it's a little difficult to understand why, how we could say Gedolah Hachnas Tzorchem. If the Rebbeinu Shalom is speaking to a person, and the Rebbeinu Shalom holds that this moment is for him to address Avraham Avinu and to be mevaker by Avraham Avinu, so why should, how in the world could Avraham hold that it's Gedolah Yoisim Mikabolos Pnei Hashchina? After all, Avraham Avinu, the Rebbeinu Shalom is the one who to decide which thing is big and which thing is small. And if he decided that Kabbalas Pnei Hashchina is bigger, and that's what Avraham should be doing right now, so then why should Avraham say differently? How could he say differently? I feel it's better to do something else. But we'll take a look at a moment at what's meant by Hachnas Asorchem Bichlal and what's meant specifically by Avraham Avinu's Hachnas Asorchem. I mentioned to you previously that Avraham Avinu's Midah of Chesed, it could be understood on many levels. Number one, Stam, it's a refinement and it's a Shlemus HaMidah to do Chesed with people. And it's not only that, but it's one of the most important vital midas, al shloshet vorm ha'olam oimed, al ha'torah bi'alavoyev al gmilus chasodim, ha'torah kula gmilus chasodim, yorshe gmilus chasodim, v'sovi gmilus chasodim, right? All mitzvahs of ben adam l'chaveiro are understood on the basis of gmilus chasodim. Very good. In a deeper sense, gmilus chasodim is, it's called the derech Hashem, right? Mahu Racham, Mafatu Racham, Shamru, Derech Hashem, Lasek Sok of Mishpat. And I told you on a still deeper level, Avraham Avinu, by doing Chesed and living a life of Chesed, performed a double service. Number one, he conducted his life as in B'Tzelem Elokim, because it's not just that it's a high and wonderful and good midah, but this is the way a person has to live who reflects the presence of Hashem Yisburah. That's why it's called Derech Hashem. So therefore he himself represented Elokus on this world. And more than that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu manifests his own presence through Chesed. Because all the things that we see in the Bria, right? The Shara Pchina of the Chayim Zalbovitz, all the different toivas and chasodim that we see throughout the world, throughout a person's life, from birth to death, and inside and outside, are all giluyim of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his chasod, so that Avraham Avinu, who was Megal Hashem Shemayim to the world, Hashem Elokei Hashemayim Elokei Ha'oras, I told you, so his demonstration in Vayikra B'Shem Hashem was done through demonstrating to the world the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their own lives and showing them how deeply they're affected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how strongly and solidly he manifests his presence through all the chasodim that he does. And in order to do that, so he showed them how with it, in the lives of people and individuals, what chesed does to the Baal chesed, to the one who receives chesed, and how it reflects the presence of HaKadosh Baruch of this world. And chesed is not just a simple midah, but it's a very deep and basic midah, and it's essential to reflecting HaKadosh Baruch's presence in this world. Bikur Cholim Rabbeisai is one of the many forms of chesed, and it's listed, in fact, in the brayta that we say every morning, Achnas Asarchem Bikur Cholim Rabbeisai Mes, and so on. Bikur Cholim is an act of chesed. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing chesed to Avraham Avinu. And it's not just simply a coincidence, because, you know, this parasha itself is extremely difficult. The Rashi is saying every word here, not just to be mafarish the parasha, but la'afuke, a different parish, which people ordinarily, without the Messiah, would make the toys, because it says over there that there were two malachim, and he addressed one of the three as Vayomer Aleph Dalad Nun Yud and Vayer Elav Hashem. So the Hamshach would indicate that there were two malachim, and Hashem Yisborach was there as well, and that's Vayer Elav Hashem, and he spoke to Hashem, Hashem Em Nomatzosi. But of course, all this is foolish and magushimdik, because it's not shaykh that he should speak to Hashem and say Ekhot Paslechem Asad Olubchem and such kind of things. But goyim and people who, you know, don't have the Messiah, look at this parsha and they attach all types of very horrible pirushim to it. But as it is, there's a machloikis rishonim. You know, the Rambam, when he says Vayir Elav Hashem, says that the entire incident over here is a Mara Nevuah, Vayir Elav Hashem, and Vayisayin Vayar is Avraham Avinu's Mara Nevuah, and in his Mara Nevuah, in his Chizoya, and he saw these images that it speaks about. And the Ramban in the beginning of the Seder is marach very much to argue on the Rambam, right? But neither Peirush, not the Rambam and not the Ramban, has any shaychus to what the Chitzoinim do when they violate the parasha with their parish. Rashi just says, Vayir Elav Hashem, it's separate, it's Levakir HaSachol. So that one thing, and then comes Vayisayim Vayar, that's another thing, two different things. There's no hemshir between the two. But what I'm telling you, Rabbeisai, is that Levakir HaSachol is intimately connected, because Bikur Cholim is one of the basic forms of Gemilas Chasodim. And Gemilas Chasodim is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing right then, which means Vayeru Elav Hashem. Vayeru Elav Hashem is not the Baruch Hu appeared. And where did he appear? For the tachlis of being Mevakeh Chayim. Right? No. In Avraham Avinu's entire avodah, the Gemilas Chasodim was the way through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Megala Atzmoy L'chol Olam Kulei. Vayir Elav Hashem, he was Mara himself through Bikur Cholim. It was an act of chesed which revealed HaKadosh Baruch. You understand? It's not HaKadosh Baruch came, and then once he was here, right, he did something, he was Mevakeh Cholim. The Bikur Cholim itself is a gilui of the Shekhinah, because it's one of the tremendous acts of chesed. So there's big chasodim, like the Chasodim that are general to the whole world. right? Chavis Halvavus always attaches, touches upon this. He always focuses in that there's three kinds, three levels of chesed, right? One, three levels of chesed. One is general to the whole world, and those are the ones we see in the development of a child and all kinds of other things, right? The second level of chesed is the chesed to the Klal Yisrael, especially. The third is the chesed to the individual. Okay? So to the whole world, Avraham Avinu demonstrated chesed Hashem through showing how in the Bria, every part of nature reveals chesed Hashem. To his own children, he showed how chesed Hashem reflects itself in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's special relation to them, to himself. There was that highest level of chesed, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually revealed himself through chesed le'Avraham, which was bikur cholim to the person of Avraham, because he was on that highest level where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed was the Mara Nevuah, the Iyas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, Gilu Shechina, through the chesed. That was Vayei Olam Hashem. So what did Avraham Avinu say? Right? He said to that, he said, in Matzasi, Chayna al Nosav Mer Lavdecha, you please wait, I have to be Machnes Orchem. So his Achnosas Orchem is not a steer, it's not a leave of absence from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Biker Choylem. His Achnosas Orchem is an application of what the Ribbono Shel Olam was doing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed his presence through the chesed of Biker Choylem, and Avraham Avinu took that, his galus, and transformed it into a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world through chasodim. So he did the chasodim with the Shlosh Anoshim in a way which served to reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence to the Shlosh Anoshim. And you understand? It's what was supposed to come out of the Bikur Cholam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Ribbono Shel Olam says Galus to Avraham, and showing him the highest level of Chesed, the personal level of Chesed, to Avraham Avinu, right? Increased and intensified his power to transmit that, his Galus, to the world. And he immediately said to Ribbono Shel Olam, very good, I have it now. Now I'm going to give it over to the Bria. And he gave it over through the exceptional chesed to the Shlosh Anoshim. So he was further megale koy shemayim to the Shlosh Anoshim. It's not that he took a leave of absence from the chesed. The chesed to Avraham Avinu of Bikur Cholam was now a new level, since he was a nimoil, right? So there was no longer the basic chesed or the general chesed to his family and to Klal Yisrael on a national level, but it was now his galus on an extremely personal level through Bikur Cholam, which is one of the main acts of Gemilus Chesed. And so he took this Gemilus Chesed and now gave it over to the world in a more intense and a more high and powerful level. And that's what he said, Yukach Nomad Mayim V'Achzor Adweichem, and he gave the demonstration of Chesed to the world, which again intensified and elevated his revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence to the Bria through the method of Chesed. Okay? It's a gewaldige tifa zachra boisei, and think into it a lot. But you should know that this is not just the Chesed of Avraham to the Malachim. This is what Achnosas Orchem entails. When you bring an Oreach into a Jewish home, you're not just making a person feel happy and feel relieved and give him a place where he could relax and feel well taken care of, especially if you show such warmth to him, running by Meir and by Yorah. You know, you just have to look over the Pesukim a little and think of it. Watch everybody rushing and running and to do service to the people. How good it makes them feel. And for all purposes, these were 300 people who were traveling the desert and weary travelers. Right? And Avraham Avinu is saying, Al Nosavar, please don't pass me by, come in, it'll be a great pleasure, and it'll be a toiva to me, and rushing and running and everything. It'll take a person, all his fatigue and his weariness and his loss of self-respect, which he has while he's traveling alone and forgotten, or with a couple of friends, and showing, restoring his self-importance and restoring his good feeling and bringing back his nefesh. Just think of the Etzem Chesed. But now let's take a look here, boys, at what happens when a person is mischased on a personal level to someone in the street, and he helps him. So that someone feels that it's Boruch Alakeshim and Shotach, he senses a certain godliness in the Chesed. I told Ben Shanova not long ago the story that happened. A fellow who bought a house a couple of years ago from old Goyete. This old Goyish woman, and she was going into a nursing home, knew the children, and everybody was selling the house, and he came there when the old lady was moving out, and she said that many, many years ago, some memories of a person who's reaching the waning days of the life, and he said many years ago, 30, 40 years ago, whatever it was, she lost a diamond ring somewhere in the house. It was never found, and they searched for all the garbage at that time. It wasn't in the garbage. If you happened to find it, whatever it was. So he came into the house, naturally an old decrepit house with a lady in that condition, had a lot of work to be done, the holes to be filled up and painting, and the pipes were rusty. So he took out an old chaloshes that you think that was there in the kitchen and replaced it with a new sink. And just behind the pipe, stuck into a place that was not shy to get into, was that diamond. The diamond ring. Now, worth quite a bit of money, and he came to me and asked me what he should do. Maybe he's not allowed to return it. Why? Because Laman's voice, the Rav Satzmei, the Chazal say that you're not allowed to return an Aveda to a good. But Chazal also say if there'll be a Kiddush Hashem, you have to. You're allowed to. So it's the Shail of Kiddush Hashem will be over in Nisir, and you have to be very careful, because you just can't go ahead and stam in the belt there and say, I'll do it, without really thinking into it. And he discussed it with me, so I told him, in this particular case, there'll be a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, because if she's thinking about this diamond ring for the last 40 years, she'll surely tell a lot of people about it, and it'll bring to an understanding of how a Bentari behaves, and it's well worth it. So he called her up and said he found the diamond ring and brought it over. Her children were there, and he gave it back to the shop. For the next couple of days, he kept getting calls from Kroivim of the woman, thanking him so much and talking about his honesty and this and that. Finally, after about a week, he came to me and he said he got a call from the Galach. The Galach called him up and said, blessed is the God of the Jews. Chasodim, in a true, honest sense, reveals HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world, because a person wouldn't be able to do a chesed in a real, deep, meaningful way, which the other person feels as a natural act which recognizes him as a human being, without thinking to himself that if not for his closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we would never be able to do that. So Chesed Be'etzem is a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. If it's done correctly, if it's done naturally and warmly and, you know, unaffectedly, not Keilu, a person is doing using the Makabel Chesed for his Esrig or Lulu, you know, like he would be a such a mitzvah that you're doing Chesed. But Chesed is goes even deeper, because Achnosas Orchem means that you're bringing people in and making them part of a Jewish home. And Chazal say, "Yei beischa pesuach levocha, v'yeu aniyim b'nei beischa." And it goes together with the first member in Pirkei Avos, "Yei beischa mizvah l'chachamim." When someone has a revelation of what a Jewish home is like, so then there's Kiddush Hashem on a very personal and deep and meaningful level, because it's revealed to him something of what to him was a mystery. And what kind of mystery? To the outside world, our life is a mystery. Let me digress for a moment to something that is important to mention today. I said that to the outside world, our life is a mystery, and I don't know what it means and how to handle it. About 2 years ago, I believe that's when it was, in the summer, I was shown a copy of the U.S. News and World Report. Somebody told me there's an article about the yeshivas in there. So I took a look, and there was an article about the lead article of the U.S. News and World Report. It's 4 pages long. There's a lot of pictures. And it said about how there's such a terrible problem that developed in Israel. A very major problem. Because there's a certain group of people who sort of departed from normalcy and sort of created some type of cult attitude to the world. They get married, they don't support their families, they don't go to work, they don't contribute to society. They are parasites, they dodge the draft, they don't serve their country. And they live off other people's donations, and they sit and study the holy books, and it's not just one or two like it used to be, some holy people like priests, everybody has that kind of thing, but it's groups of hundreds and hundreds. The parents are cringing at this abnormal behavior, and so on and so forth. And they just expect the world to treat them. They look down upon everyone, and everybody else is created to work, and they're created to just study and be supported by everyone. And it causes a rift in Israeli society, and there's a hatred, and there's a this, and a resentment, and a meises and geschäften, and you could imagine all the other garbage that went along with this. And at the end of the article, he writes like this. I would love to get hold of it again. I mean, it's no difficulty in getting hold of these things. They're available. He writes at the end of the article, but there's a ray of hope that the problem, this severe, terrible social problem that leads to such conflict and such personal problems, etc., 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 and strain on the marriage, and of course they give an incident, and there's all these articles naturally are supported by a story of you know, A and B, and who went off to Derech because he couldn't conform to this unnatural existence, and he was alienated by his parents who were from the extremists, you know, all these nice beautiful like tidbits of these bits of chocolatey terms that they used to say. At the end, he writes, there's a ray of hope. ray of hope is because this whole unnatural system is was developed and created and nurtured by a 100-year-old rabbi. In a sense, how long could a person live? And so it's the our hope and expectation that when the rabbi passes on, so then of course the people will go back to a natural lifestyle and so on. I tell you, Rabbi said that the one who wrote this, by the way, was somebody who grew up in a Mizrahi home and went a little further to the left, and his hatred of the Olam HaTorah naturally is more intense than the standard guy. The guy doesn't hate the Olam HaTorah. First of all, he doesn't differentiate between one yid and another. If you think that he's kind to Bnei Torah, it's because you know, by him all yidden, and the Zelda. But the yid is who understands a little bit of it, has that similar kusha to the Olam HaTorah. There's absolutely no understanding, not shaykh for a person to have the least bit of havana in what the Torah life is like, unless you're close to the yeshivas and close to the Torah. But Rabbi said the Torah is nitzchi, is it? And Shach is a chassadical drocha. Was taka the onward on which the whole Torah world stood, and what he accomplished was beyond words. There's no shaila, there's no suffer. That was a single address. That was the where Torah Lamitai came from, in the clear direction and clear guidance. And then for the last couple of years, when he wasn't in the condition to be able to answer every question and to give guidance to Klal Yisrael, Chol HaPochus, his chus and his kedusha was making on the whole world. We have to be mispalim. But the nitzchias HaTorah, Rabbi Yisrael, will be mekuyim. Whether the outside world understands it or doesn't understand it. Going back to the parasha, the Hachnas HaSorachim is in essence a certain form of Kabbalah Pnei HaShechina. Understand, because the Areach who feels the warmth and the Kedusha of a Jewish home sees a world is revealed to him which he didn't know existed, a new dream world. It's like a world of magic, which is something that he looks with wonder and amazement. If it's a real world, the person has to know. Rabbi say if they want to be machnas areach, then they have to make their home into a place which should be based on pasuach levocha, you know, yonim b'nei beisach. It should be a place which is demonstrative of the Shechina. Because if the home doesn't demonstrate what the Shechina is all about, then what's the tachlis in taking people into the home to fill them with various foods? You may give them a certificate to a restaurant to pick up some. Yeah. I'll just add one little thing to this, and then we'll go to the next thing. I don't know if I probably mentioned it here in the past, but you'll have to be mindful because I don't think keep an accurate record of what I said once or twice or three times. So there'll be a little repetition once in a while, but sometimes it's not that terrible. To emphasize this theme, I say what I said in the past. There was once a couple of years ago, there was a fellow who I think I said it not quite recently. There's a fellow who was came with his family to my house on Shabbos, maybe it's 10 years ago, or more than that, 11, 12 years ago. And he came again and again, and he's very happy that he met us and so on and so forth. But it's difficult for him to, you know, to adopt this way of life, being that he was away from it from birth. He came from Russia. But he said one thing. He says everyone is impressed by it. Everyone, he and all his friends, are impressed by it. It's one thing that he sees over here, and he has to tell it to me. He's impressed by something that our family seems to have and the rest of the world doesn't have, and that is some type of respect between the children and the parents, and the relationship he sees as a harmony, as if it's sort of all practiced and staged, like it would be a script in a play, how the children get up and serve, and how they come and sit by the table, how they sing, how they say Torah, and there's such respect for the father and for the mother. It's something that you don't have it in the rest of the world. There's some generation gap. There's always a rebellious attitude from the teenagers to the parents, and if anything, the kids look down on the parents instead of looking up to them, and the readiness and the quickness to perform. It's not something that you see all over. It's, the opposite is true of 99% of the rest of the world. How do we accomplish it? How do we do it? That's what he asked me. What's your secret? How do you do it? So I said one word. Secret. The secret is Shabbos. That's where it all is. I said, you have to realize what Shabbos is. And I'll tell you the truth, I say it over and over, not to tell the world about it, as I said, because we're not going to win over the world. We have to know ourselves what Shabbos is. Let's think of it. It's something that doesn't exist in the rest of the world. All the entire family gets dressed up with princely clothing, prepares, washing and preparation. There's all different types of polish your shoes and you cut your nails and you do this and that and the other thing. And you're getting ready for who knows, some extraordinary occasion which by the rest of the world maybe once or twice a year. And then they all go to shul, the men and the women stay home and they prepare a princely table with silver and with everything is so perfectly tailored, the best linens and the best kalim, everything is so neat, the house is clean from one end to the other. And we come in and everybody sits around the table and is so like cordial and kindly to each other. Then we go through such a formal the kiddush and a moitzi, and the father sits like a king at the head of the table, and the children sit around the table and they talk with each other. And there's a whole program, and that program creates gives life a dignity and a chashivus which doesn't exist anywhere. I went last week the week to Empire Chicken. So there's a guy, a real guy, bona fide guy, drove me there. And, no, what did he say? Huh? You were there in the car, huh? Because the guy said that he told the bitter old lady $78 million church school, and he told them that it will be a failure unless they adopt some of the ways of life that they have in Brooklyn. If they don't want the children to go out and be criminals, they have to have them sit around the table, they have to have this and that. He said without that is the Shabbos is the aside. People don't realize it. The formality, the dignity, the princeliness, the chashivus, the special, you polish the silver, you sit around and take out the bed of china, and everything is with such class. and that forms a tremendous respect and relationship. And take a look at what Avraham Avinu was showing the Shloisha Anoshim. The rabbi's like, what did he show them? Yeah, think into it. He showed them, what does it say? Ayitin al Hanar. So what does it actually say? Say Yishmael. And what did he do it? L'chanchoi v'mitzvah. Right? That's what Rashi says. L'chanchoi v'mitzvah. So, and what were they all doing? Running back and forth. They spread a table. Tachas ha'eitz. Huh? Chayachelu. They all sat together and ate. And Yishmael was there serving, and Avraham served, and he ran, and they treated the malachim. And he showed them a Jewish home. And that Jewish home, Yishmael was part of it. He was being mechunuch, and how to take care, and how to, and he listened to every command of Avraham Avinu. You have pretty much that same picture, of course, translated into the circumstances of that time, right? And Sora was Hinei V'Oyel, right? The woman of the house who has such a central position in Shabbos, right? The first thing after you greet the Malachim, what do? You say, Eishes Chayil Miyimtza, which is a song of praise to the woman who prepared Shabbos. Of course, there's deeper meanings and everything, but really that's the basic idea of Eishes Chayil. And you praise the Rebbeinu Shlomo, you praise the Malachim. Come and thank them and say Shalom Aleichem, and then there's that Hakoras HaToyev, which is so essential, right? Sora made the Chalas, and that's why it says why they didn't serve Chalas. Rashi already explains everything, but she baked and so Lushi Vasi Uga is a Zosh Taita, right? That's what Sora did. Shloshim Kamach Soilas Me. Mary, also quick and everything. So here you have this picture that I described to you, which created such a profound impression on that Yidin, which creates through all the acts of Achnasa Sarchem this profound impression. And the voice I said before, and I want just to repeat it, it's not effective unless what you're offering is real, and you got to do a lot of work on that. A home doesn't just become a home by pressing a button or by following the formalities. There has to be respect and warmth and happiness and all those intangibles which are so much more valuable. Otherwise, what are you offering to the Yareach? Here you have this picture. You have to realize there's so much in this parasha. It's not just the various chasodim and bigger choylim. It's a demonstration of the lakus to the world. Thus faced our get lechaleven. What is it? This is it. Understand? And I'll tell you, there's a moridik chazal. You can understand what the chazal. Chazal says like this, that when the medrash, a well known medrash, is repeated all the time, that when Moshe Rabbeinu came to be Mekabel the Torah in Shemayim, the Malachim didn't let. They didn't want, right? The Gemara in Shabbos brings it, says, Tenohoit Chalo Shemayim, right? The Torah is so and so, and so many Torahs, and Chem de Genuza. But why are you giving it to the people? So the Gemara is Bavus, but the Medrash says that the Baruch Shalom told the Malachim, how could you ask that it shouldn't be given to the people when you ate Basar B'Cholov in the oil of Avraham Avinu? No. So he was criticizing Malachim for eating Basar B'Cholov because it says they had Cholov and then Boker Asher Asa. So they ate Basar B'Cholov? No. Okay, it could be Wadaki. It could be first they ate Cholov and then the Boker. Or maybe the other way around, because waiting 6 hours, it was, you know. And I guess a Malach could pack 6 hours into 5 seconds also. I mean, maybe they held like a bad time on. but what is it? So it was Basar B'Cholov. So what is Pshat? So therefore the Malachim are Choyte and they have to do Tshuva, and therefore they have no right to the Torah because of the Basar B'Cholov. But in a very deep sense, and I've heard it from the Yisrael, the pshat is that when these Shloisha Anoshim came away from the house of Avraham Avinu, when they came away from the house of Avraham Avinu, the Shlosh Anoshim, one Malach went back to the heavens, his Shlichus was over, and the other two Malachim went to Sdoim, Echad Lahatzul Slayt, right? When these Malachim went away from the house of Avraham Avinu, what did they experience? They came to say a bracha, they came this, that, they'd be Mavaseh of the Sayyid of Yitzchak. But what did they experience, Rabbosan? They themselves received this alus, even though they were Malachim when they came. But sitting in the house of Avraham Avinu, to them was a gilui. To them was such a revelation that it elevated them to a higher level than they were before. And Kalvachayim had been Bedoshal Kalvachayim if it would have been three Arabs like Avraham Avinu thought, or wayfarers. I mean, they weren't Bnei Yishmael for sure. You know, in the Arvian from that part of the world that worship of Akraglaya. And what if it would have been Stam, three Yiddish kinder who are searching for the truth and looking, or Stam, three people or any people who are regularly Yidden, who sort of come to a home like Avraham Avinu's home? How deep and how appreciative and how effective is the experience? But even for the Malachim, Avraham Avinu's home wasn't the Pistam. It was the home where the Shechinah was, the home of which was daimed to the Mishkan, or like better and more correctly, the Mishkan was daimed to Avraham Avinu's home, not the other way around. I said it the other time. And in that sense, the Malachim came away feeling and realizing and developing and gaining so much from their experience in the home of Avraham Avinu. So the Rebbeinu Shlom said to them, you'll have the Torah, maybe the Torah should be by the Yidden, and they'll create such a world where even Malachim could have an accomplishment, could have a gain, right? That's the experience. You saw what the life of Torah could create on the lower world, on the world with his Bosser and with his Cholov, and you had a chance to live among people for a few moments, and you could experience what it meant to be in the home of where Torah is at the heart of it. Otherwise, I'll talk about something entirely different, but I feel it's a Yisoid Niflum. It says like this. There's this parasha over here, which seems it's like irksome when you learn it the first time, and you try to figure out Avraham Avinu's Titzchak Sora b'kirbo leimor. Sora left. Achrei beloisi hoisel yedna. Sounds like she ridiculed. Vayomer shalom. Avraham lomaz etzoch kasora leimor. Ha'afum namele v'anizakrat. Hey, no. Vatechachesh Sora leimor loisachachti. So Avraham Avinu went and told her of the Sora. And Sora said, "Lo yisachachti." No, she denied it. Ki yireu, she was afraid. Vayomer loy, he said, "No, ki tzachok, he did play." And back and forth, and back and forth. And it doesn't seem appropriate. Sora said, "I didn't," and it was lying. Avraham Avinu said, "You did." Soon created an argument over here. Whether she laughed or didn't laugh, and a denial and a reproval. And what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to tell over to Avraham Avinu that Sora laughed? And what did Sora Takaleh for Chas V'Sholom, the Emois HaKadoshim, should ridicule anything of his Kiptush Patrach? What's going on? And Avraham Avinu had to tell over what he heard. It's enough to hear something personal, critical of Sora. He has to go over and tell it to Sora. What's Tutzach? Why is it necessary to go through this whole Shavu V'Tar? So I think there's something entirely different. Now, boy, sorry. Sora's tzchoik was no shaila whatsoever. The tzchoik of like Avraham Avinu, Vayipol Avraham Alpona Vayitzchok, and that was why his name was Yitzchok, because Avraham Avinu laughed, and Sora also laughed, right? But Titzchak Sora, she also laughed. The simcha of the laughter, the simcha of Yehudi Hashem Yeshorim Mitzamchei Leiv is the highest form of Avodas Hashem. But the Rambam writes, Simcha Shal Mitzvah Avodi G'doyle Yad Miyoyim. It's a gewaltig zach to be Shailach and Tzachidin with Sorach. There was a mashahu, there was something. Maybe it was unrecognizable to Sorach, surely it was. There was something, perhaps, of the other type of laughter. The type of laughter where you laugh at something, where you ridicule something, where you take something valuable and reduce it into something not so choshev. The type of laughter which leads to litzonus. And that might have been sort of mixed in an infinitesimal fraction into Sora's simcha shel mitzvint or tzchoik shel kedusha. We'll see in a minute where this leads us. So, the Rebbeinu Shalom told it to Avraham Avinu. Lama zeh tzochka sora lema. So, v'atachachish sora lema lo a person who has the tzonos and who ridicules doesn't have Yerushamayim. The two don't go together. If you have Yerushamayim, you're not a less Zayv Yoyer Leis Shemoy Oisayev HaZodek. If you ridicule and look down, and especially to Dvar Hashem, much have to have Yerushamayim. So perhaps, Batachachish Torah Lemer, Loisachati, why Ki Yoreya? She felt she was Molech Megodesh with Yerushamayim. She didn't see any flaw, any diminishing of her high, elevated state of Yerushamayim. So she said, I don't understand it. It can't be, it's impossible. Lu Yitzir, there was a Shemetz of Tzchoik in what I said. So it would have an effect on me. It would change me. It would sort of reduce my yira, my tachat, my state of loftiness, of closeness to Hashem Yisborach, and I don't feel any reduction at all. And then no effect was visible in the oil either. The oil of Sorah, which was filled with the Shekhinah, which was filled with the onon kosher of the oil, the Berachah Metzuyah V'Isa, the Ner Doilek, which was contained the three elements that the Heichel of the Beis Hamikdash and the Mishkan were filled with. The Shulchan, and the Menorah, and the Mizbeach Hazor. Nothing to do. There was no reduction of that. Of course, because it was Sora's oil, which reflected her loftiness. And it all was nothing more merely just a physical effect of Sora's pnimius. That's all. It wasn't a reward. The Bracha Metzuyah B'Isa was because she infused into the Isa, the Lushi Vasi Yugas was done with Bracha. So that's where the Bracha came from Sora's Neshama. And when she lit a Neir, the Neir was something that had the Nitzchias in it, because her Adlokas HaNeir was a Nitzchias to get. And her breath and her Amuna and everything was enough to create a cloud of Gilu Shechina. Vayer Koyd Hashem. So it was all still there. So she said, how could it be? What's a chakti? I don't understand. So Avraham Avinu said, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it was. So I don't understand it either, and I don't know what was meant by it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu apparently was makir, a mashahu of some incorrect inyan of tzchoik. That's what he told me. Okay, a nice taich. A little Jewish sounds like sub kosov. That's not kosher pshat. I'll lead this to its conclusion, and you'll hear a boisai, and then you'll all of a sudden want to jump up and say that what I said before was kosher pshat mamash. So this is the maisa, right? But what happened afterwards? What happened afterwards? What happened afterwards was, of course, Torah heard the words of Avraham Avinu. So she thought, had thought and thought. Naturally, of course it had to be like that. I'm not imagining that that happened. That surely happened. It can't be otherwise. And when she put so much iyun into examining this iyun of tzayik, that she became a maven, an expert on the whole concept of tzayik. And she was able to be misboinen and to be margish, either daka shabadaka shabadaka of tzayik, even something that no one in the world would be able to see. She was able to be margish, something infinitesimal that could lead away from the pure, unsullied simcha shel mitzvah, which the tzayik of Vayipol Avraham upon Yitzchak was. And she became an expert on this inyan. So that later in Parshas Vayera, when it says that Teira Sogor is Ben Hogor HaMitzvah Sasha Yoldele Avraham Mitzvachik, and Avraham Avinu said, I don't understand, where in his tzayik is there something wrong? And the Rebbeinu Shlom said, Koyla Shetoyma Elach HaSorosh Mava Koyla. Because Sorrel understood and learned so much about the Indian of Tzoyk that she was able to see even deeper than Avraham Avinu. And it all came because of this incident over here. And the Torah is telling us here how it came about that Sorrel Menu was such a Mavina on the Gidrei Tzoyk that she was able to see a Daka Min HaDaka, the Shoresh HaKilkul in Nishmoel, despite the fact that he surely manifested in his outward behavior all the beauty and shleimus of a bona fide simcha in his chayt. Why? Because he saw it and he acted in the manner that he was brought up in the house of Avraham Avinu. And Mamela, nobody else had that nevinus and understood the depth of the of his chayk, how the shoyer shakilkul, the ritzicha, the avodah zara, was all buried within the chayk that Yishmael had. Only Sorei Meinu was capable of doing it because of the muser of Hakadosh Baruch Hu loy kitzachot, which he told to Avraham Avinu, how you have to be so careful when it comes to the inyan of chayk. And on both sides. You know, we live in a country where tzchoik is beyond question the most important center of all American life and culture and behavior. Fun, ridicule, jokes. You can't sell anything. And take a look at all the pictures and the advertisements. There's all some type of ridicule. How some funny faced person is doing something, and that'll show you why to buy a certain beer or a cigarette or something else. And there's always a latonist. There's always poking something in every emblem. There's always taking a name and twisting it this way and that way, so that. If it's not the tzchoik of ridicule, so it's pointing that if you buy this product, you will be able to go and have a lot of fun and a lot of pleasure, and you'll be able to experience the laughter and the happiness, and every facet is pointing to this old gidrei tzchoik, inside the ridicule, inside the jokes and the puns, and the person is considered intelligent only if he could take ordinary words and phrases and present them in a manifestly ridiculous way, and it shows his kishon and his talent, and whether it's a serious a speaker or an entertainer or a commentator, whoever it is, it's the idea of tzchoik is so totally pervasive that it creeps into our lives. There's no question at all. And little tidbits of it, little mashos, are all over the place. So that there's tzchoik. So even if we try, Rabbi Say, with all our heart, to be mitzachik with the simcha shel mitzvah, but it's impossible to prevent the little breckle of the secular tzchoik, which, as sorry, may have noticed in Yishmael, that it was a tzchoik which would lead eventually to Yitzchak, to the Zora, to Gilayayas, and to everything. That's the type of tzchoik. Why? Because tzchoik v'kal sorish magin liyavo. A person isn't ashamed, he has no inhibitions, so he could go and approach another person, approach a woman perhaps, or whatever creature he'll approach, and to do an aveira jointly. It takes a tremendous amount of overcoming inhibitions and embarrassment. But you have tzchoik, so everything is fun, and everything is a game, and everything is a joke. So tzchoik v'kol sorish magin liyavo, or a person who killed somebody. Why is it that he finally killed somebody? Because to him, important things he could take and make not important, right? And if you'll take a look at the terrorists too, their education is that the rest of the world is commandolese, right? Litzonis emphasizes that. Litzonis means take something choshev and dash it to pieces just by presenting it in a way which makes it look silly instead of choshev. So you take something of value and make it into something of no value, right? Whether it's through the fanaticism of the Pera Odom, plus the descendants of the Pera Odom in the Al-Kharba Chatichyanik. They are descendants of both rabbis. I don't know if you realize that Esav was an Edom by Yishmael, right? Vayelach Esav and Yishmael, Vayikach Esmach was Basel. And they have both midas, Pera Odom and Al-Kharba Chatichyanik. They joined together. And what happens? They turn everything into nothing. And what happens when a let turns something into nothing? It's the art of turning something into nothing, right? The Rebbeinu Shlom makes yesh meayin, huh? But it's the let that makes ayin meyesh. Understand? It's just the exact opposite of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's pu'ula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes bria, and the let makes destruction. And once things are important are no longer important, then you could easily be your Isaiah. Of course, because Isaiah takes the most important thing, the most chashuv thing in the world, which is human life, and says, bah, shmeh, it's nothing. Bang, bang. Even his own life, when the Mishugayim do it. If you reduce a yesh to an ayin. So, what's wrong with killing an ayin? Huh? If you take a picture of a person and poke a knife into the picture, it means nothing. Maybe it psychologically will help you with some mental, problem. So if you take a person who you consider to be nothing, right, and then kill it, so what do? You kill the picture because he's nothing. First, you make him into nothing. The Mitzachik is that's the seed of Yitzchak, and the seed of, like I said, of Gilui Raos, and the seed of Avodah Zarah. Because what does Avodah Zarah come from? A lack of Yirah Shamayim. Rak in Yirah Selekim b'Avokim Asir. And the Yirah Shamayim can't be less, like we said before, Ki Yareya. So it's the seed of Avodah Zarah. Because Latonis is the antithesis of Yirah Shamayim. Just the opposite. It's total. The opposite ends, the polar ends of the world. At one extreme is Yirah Shamayim, the other extreme is Latzonis. And there's a total and absolute cleavage between the two. And that's Avodah Zarah. Once there's no Yirah Shamayim, there's Avodah Zarah. And that's where you see it, that Mitzachik is Avodah Zarah, Yigloyayas, and Shvichas Domin, not like Rabbi Sayed, as you probably understood till now, because in a certain way it's associated, there are psukim that are associated to who are based for us, it's a midah, sheyesh boy, you know, something and this and that. No. That's it. The shayrish of Gilarias, as I explained to you in the Sikha and Abay the Zorah, is Lutan. That's what it's choy. Vateir is Togas, Ben Zorah has Ben Hogar Mitzvah, Sashiyolul Avram Matzachi. But Avram couldn't see it. He had half of a fellow. Vayera, right? Any Avram. But he didn't see it. But Avram Avinu didn't see it because it was so deeply hidden. But Zorah saw it. So he saw it because of what it says here in the parasha. Loi kisa chokt. So she spent years and years being this boy named in Amkus, and she was able to be such a maven in Chol Gedorov that she was able to tapois what no one else in the Bria would tapois. It was a kin to Nevuah, Koyla Shes, Toymer Lecha Sora Shema, but Koyla, but it came because of her, his boyness, her expertise in Chayk, and seeing what every negative sign, which we are immune to, Rabbeisa, right? And when we read the advertisements, or hear, or look, or listen, or anybody, or whoever opens their mouths in America, it has to run, there's a running, uninterrupted stream of tzchayk. So we have to try to cleanse out and wash away this tzchayk. That will be our... And I just want to throw in two very short remarks. One pertaining to what I said before, right now. You know, we speak about going out of the golas, but going out of the golas is accomplished through a certain process. And you know what the process is. The process is taking the golas out of you. Because once the golas is out of you, then you could go out of the golas. But if the golas is inside you, there's no way to go out of it. You could pick yourself up and go there to Israel, or go here, go there, wherever you'll go, you'll be taking the golas with you. But it's very deep inside yourself. You want to wash the golas out of you, then this geder, which represents American culture, is the golas inside of ourselves. Right? You gotta get rid of it. And number two, which has nothing to do with the above, is that Yehabez Hashem, Shotov Mislachas, next week, the Bar Mitzvah in Einikul in Miami. So, I'll be taking the flight to Hashem Thursday night. If somebody could maybe reschedule, if I suppose, maybe we could reschedule this for another time during the week. If not, but if it's at all possible, maybe somebody could undertake to see if it could be done. Most of the data says no for tons. Most of the data says to make it survival to get his mind alert and he should be in here. That's what it says in Chazal. Maybe right, instead of being listening, you know, with a heavy head and a heavy ear and a heavy heart, you hear it so you get light. Just get light, then
so that's the same thing no matter what you're saying.
Not the same thing at all. No. I always, people ask me many times, what's the chiluk between Shalit and Lutzonis and Milta and Ruchas? The chiluk is like this. The humor is meant to make a person live. Lutzonis is meant to make a person cry. The butt of the joke, the victim of the Lutzonis.